to James chapter 1 again like we did last week. James chapter 1. Tell your neighbor, I'm a love being. I walk in love towards those within and towards those without. I am a love being. Love is my nature. I do not walk in strife. I walk in love all the days of my life. All right. James chapter 1, are you there? Verse 16 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, or for this reason, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to rot. For the wrath of man, or the anger of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues hearing, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26 is saying the same thing, but look at what it says in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Amen. Now the picture I want you to see is that the Bible gives us an instruction of people who hear the word and people who do the word. It's interesting, it doesn't mention the last category. People who don't even hear at all are not mentioned here. It means there's no definition for those who don't hear. Hallelujah. We can't, in fact, you don't have a future. There's no explanation and no description for those who don't even hear. Because it says they are hearers and they are doers, and they are hearers and doers. Amen. And then it gives an illustration. It says, I'm going to leave the first few verses and jump straight to verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all feediness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. What the scripture is saying is that there is a practice of the word that brings about a transformation in your soul. To receive there is that the word is already inside of you, and then when you are hearing the word, how do you ensure that you are receiving and you are doing the word? See, there are people who just hear. And you have to translate from hearing to doing before you can experience a harvest. Sometimes the challenge we have is we have not done anything about the word, but we're expecting a harvest. You are like somebody who wakes up by the time farmers wake up, but they go to the field to plant, but you escort them there, but you have no field, neither do you have anything you're planting. But when they go to look for harvest, you also go to look for harvest. You won't find anything in the field. It says, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word, deceiving your own self. The implication is this, you will have heard many things. And it is not how much you hear that determines the amount of results you get. It is how much of what you hear you put into practice that determines the results that you get. So where deception comes into this, that you are hearing and hearing, but because you are not doing, you are evaluating the results you will get from what you are hearing. What you are hearing is meant to lead you to a place where you act out the word and you act upon the word. So when you are acting on the word, then you are qualified for the results or for the harvest. The Bible says that man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice it didn't say a particular deed. It means in every area of life. So if you're hearing, and you have been hearing for long, but you have not chosen to do. Notice it says receive with meekness. The implication is this, there are concepts and ideas that you already have. That's why sometimes, many times God wants to assist and wants to help. And the avenue to which God helps and assists us is through the instrumentality of his word. God doesn't offer help to any man outside of his word. Everything God will do in your life, he will do through the word. So whenever God offers help, the Bible says, receive with meekness. The implication is that you need to be humble to submit to the word of God. Let me say something. Submission and agreement are not the same. Agreement is, we are thinking the same way. Submission is, I don't really think it's that way, but I will obey. Now, it is true obedience that eventually agreement comes from. Let me say this. He said, receive with meekness. The first thing is that you have to learn to submit to the word of God so that your soul or your center of thought or your way of reasoning can change. When it says that your soul may be shaped, your line of thought, your center of reasoning may experience a change. Which is when it says, lay apart all filthiness or superfluity of nothingness. It says there's an abundance of wrong thinking in your consciousness. What do you do? Receive with meekness the engrafted word. How do you receive? Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. He gave an illustration. Look at what it says here in verse 23. For in any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like unto a man beholding his what? Natural face in a mirror. Original translation says a mirror. What do you see in a mirror? What do you see in a mirror? The mirror he's talking about there is the mirror of God's word. The implication is this. When you look at the word of God, you are hearing. And you look at the word of God, you are actually hearing. What you are seeing reflected back to you is who you are and how you look in the spirit. But there is a challenge. There is your inner face, there is your outer face. Your outer face is not what you see in the mirror. Your inner face is what you see in the mirror. In other words, the mirror that you look at in your house will show you your outer face. But the mirror of the word of God will show you your inner man, how you look in the spirit. Why God can call you beloved. Because in Christ you are perfect. Say amen. Now, the inner man, the Bible says that if you are looking at the mirror of the word, which he calls the perfect law of liberty, and you continue hearing, it says if you just hear and you turn away, you will forget. To forget means that you will depart from the reality of who you are and you will act anyhow. You know, last week I was trying to share some things about the importance of learning to walk in love and forgive. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 again, please. We're going to come back to this. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start reading from verse 26. Ephesians, I'm going to be brief this morning. I just need to buttress one or two things. Are you there? Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That is a message on its own. 2 weeks message, 3 weeks message. Say, be ye angry. That doesn't mean be angry now. Wait until the service is over. Amen. Be ye angry and sin not. So notice that it's not the anger that's the sin. It is what you do after you're angry that's the issue. They say, be angry and sin not. And some people don't know the difference. God doesn't say, you should be angry. Even God gets angry. So anger is an emotion. So it's not always wrong. If you're angry at the right thing, it's proper. But it says, and sin not. So the sin not there is what you do after you're angry. Then next thing says, neither give place to the devil. So after you're angry, notice, whatever you do after will determine whether you give place or you don't give room to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Do you know this is a church? He's writing to a church. You know, saying that people in church will steal. Say, not me, not me. Say, not me. People, it said, let him that stole steal no more. So there was somebody who was stealing. Because he said him. Thank God it wasn't your church. Now, saying, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that need him. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that I may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me ask you a question. Who is number one error of what comes out of your mouth? Who is number one error? Let know. The implication is this. Corrupt communication based on the aspect of your mind that's yet to be renewed will want to proceed from your mouth. So when it says let know, it means don't give it permission, don't allow it. Let me rephrase it. It means if you do nothing, it will come out. A lady got born again in the local assembly. She was fully in the word. You know, there's people that when they are in the word, they are in the word full time. Some of you, when you were in the word, you were in the word part time. In the word, you were still modest and everybody. Some people were there full time. So she was in the word full time. She used to go to strip clubs and those kind of things, working on the journey. So when she got born again and then God healed her, 2 weeks into being born again, she actually didn't know what she was doing was wrong. The whole church was embarrassed when they started hearing. Because with every statement, she would use the F word. And you know, people were blushing from head to toe. And she didn't even know. It was after people told her, they said, oh, I didn't know. I thought that's how everybody talks. Now, what's the issue? She didn't know that that was corrupt communication. So it wasn't held against her as a sin. But the Bible says, let know. It means that unbidden, unplanned, the words were coming out. Why? That's how our mindset is structured. Do you know that sometimes in our Christian walk, if your mind is not renewed sufficiently, when you get out, you show us a different character in church and you show a different one outside. I've heard people say things like, listen, let's leave that one again. I will show you where I'm from. That's what you're doing. He said, let no corrupt communication. That's why the world around us is built in such a way that you will find opportunities to behave out of character. So the Bible gives instruction that why is that happening to you? The challenge you have is this. You have not received the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Let me put it this way. You can't try to control on the outside what you have not changed on the inside. To save your soul, therefore, means that there has to be the image of the life of God registering upon your soul so as to control your external character. There is no law they can impose on you outside that will work or produce results that if you have not changed anything on the inside. So the Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Before you receive, what does it say? Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superabundance of what? Naughtiness. And then receive with meekness, which is able. It has the ability. If you will hear and you will do. If you will hear and you will do. Receive with meekness. It means even though you don't think that's how it should be done. Receive with meekness means embrace it and accept it as true. Even when you don't understand it. To receive with meekness means that at the first point of call, when you are first hearing the word, you may not understand that it will work. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you have heard one of the sermons of Jesus? I think Pastor Tolu shared from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 this morning. You know what he says? If they slap you on one side, do what? Turn the other cheek. How many of you have turned the other cheek before? Somebody said not in Nigeria. Because by the time you turn the other cheek, you won't hear again from that side. But you know when he says turn the other cheek, he's talking about something else. We look at it in place of meditation. But even when he says turn the other cheek, he's not talking about that if somebody physically slaps you. That's what he was talking about. He is saying that never retaliate in kind. Don't do to others the wrong that they do to you. Always reply the wrong that they do with good. That's what it means to turn the other cheek. Say amen. Jesus taught in parables. And that's one reason why he confounded the Pharisees and leaders of the day. But here's where I'm going. If you first hear that I should do good to somebody who does evil to me, I should pray for those who decisively use me, you first disagree. No, we must pray fire down upon them. All my enemies must be consumed. That's your first mindset. Bible says, you know, Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Then you say, no, God, you are too slow. I am faster. I shall repay. When you first hear, it doesn't sound like it makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but it makes God. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't make sense, but it makes God. It means your mind needs to be retrained to think the way God is thinking if you're going to get the results that only God can get. That's the implication. So when it says, lay apart, there are concepts, there are ideas you have. For instance, last week I said, if you have not spoken to someone before, or you are not familiar with it, but walk to the person. And I was happy when I saw people going and said, and there are some people, they were friends before, they are now fighting in church. Blood-bought church. Where light is thicker than blood. In the same local assembly, I will not talk to you again. I will never forgive. You are carnal. You are carnal. If you are laughing too much, it must be you. Hallelujah. Now, so that you won't think you are special, I was one who was hot. Paul wrote to a church. And the Ephesian church was one of the most spiritually mature churches. This Ephesian church, Paul didn't accuse them of any particular sin in that sense, like he did for the Corinthian church. And in that church, Paul began to write to believers who have the love of God in their hearts and began to tell them, I'm going to jump now. It says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you and all malice. Can a believer have malice? Yes. And some believers are very, very good at keeping malice. For 2 weeks, they won't greet you. How they worship God, I don't know. How they fellowship with God, who is love, I don't know. Guess what is worse? Husband and wife. Pastor, do you know he has not been talking to me for 3 days? What are you talking about? My husband. Is that a husband or a housebound? So I'm the man of the house. No, you are the boy of the house. Keeping malice with a woman, your wife, you signed. You take care of her. By the time I don't talk to her for 2 weeks, she will know. No, you will soon know. Because your prayers will be in that. He says, let all bitterness, do you notice bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking to be put away from you with all, say all malice. Say, I owe no man anything but to love. I owe everyone the love of God in my heart. I keep no malice in my heart against anyone, especially members of the household of faith. No matter what they've done against me, I forgive. And I forget. You have said it in church. Everyone assigned to it. Verse 32. And be you kind one to another, tender hearted, and what? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, as what? Forgiving you. Paul wrote some epistles, an answer to questions that churches asked him. Paul wrote to a church and said, were you defrauded? suffered the wrongdoing. Move on. You just know who not to trust again. But you have to forgive the person. You don't have a choice. Because the Bible says you forgive as God, for Christ's sake, as what? Forgiving you. You have the right not to trust the person again, but you don't have the right not to forgive the person. Believers defraud. That's the truth. The issue is that they don't know who they are. And so they think they need to go through cut corners to get results. But it says, forgive as God, for Christ's sake, as what? Forgive. Say, God has forgiven me. Do you notice it's in past tense? It says, be you kind one to another, tender hearted, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, as what? The word has the present or past tense? Past tense. God has forgiven you. So because you have been forgiven, you can take out of the abundance and forgive all others also. But it's interesting that before it speaks about you keeping malice, it speaks about what you say. It says, let no corrupt communication. The root of all the malice, the anger, the bitterness, the wrong actions, always starts from words. So the Bible says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. How many of you have noticed that you've found yourself in situations where you misjudged and you spoke before you realized you were wrong in your assumption? How many of you know that it's not safe to trust actions? That actions don't necessarily communicate intentions. How many of you know that? So somebody who didn't greet you, say, saw me. Three of us were standing here. You greeted A and B. You just overlooked. I went away. You have never gone to the person to ask, are we fighting? Is there an issue? Somebody passed by you as though the person didn't see you. Maybe the person has the weight of the world over on his shoulders. I wasn't aware where you were there. But from that day, I said, I'm not going to greet this person again. That's malice. That's how it starts. And you are short-circuiting the flow of God's power in your life. It's so important that we understand that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not something big. It's something small. But you can become something big because you are releasing power, but you are not producing results. Because something is stopping it from flowing. The Bible says, our faith, it works by love. Faith that works by what? By love. It's important. So the Bible says, let no corrupt communication. Do you know if you speak less when it comes to wrong things, you will sin less? Hallelujah. You will misjudge less. You will mistake people's intentions less. If you learn how to control how much you say. The Bible says, if any man be a hearer and not a doer, it means there's an inward practice of the word which you have learned to practice over a period of time that has now produced a state in your mind, in your soul, such that you are able to, on the outside, act like you ought to act like a full Christian, so that the flow of God's power in your life does not cease. This is something that Peter says. Look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. We also saw that last week, but I'm not going to go to the marriage area. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are we there? Verse 10. Sorry, I'm jumping to the middle. I want to do this fast. All right, are we there? It says, for he that will love life. Do you notice it's a function of choice? He said, if you will love life, if you want to actually enjoy life, it's a choice. What do you do? He that will love life and see good days. Say, to love life and see good days is within my power. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Is that in your Bible? He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him eschew or despise evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew. What eschew means? To pursue it. It means therefore that before the activity, there is a speaking first. The person who is not presumptuous in the speech, who learns to control what comes out of his mouth, has a major control over the activities of his life. If I can control what I say, I can control the boundaries of my experience. My experiences are not at the mercy of the situations in the world. My experiences are at the mercy of the words that proceed from my lips. So it says, he that will love life and see good days. To love life is one. To experience good days on the earth is another. It says, let him refrain. Notice the word refrain. He agrees with what Paul said. Let no corrupt communication. To refrain also means don't allow it or stop it or hold it back. Restrain your tongue. Let me put it this way. It means naturally, to the degree to which your mind is renewed, your tongue will want to say wrong things. Hallelujah. Your tongue wants to say wrong things. And if you allow, that's why when you see people say that, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. That's why your mind is in pieces now, because you have given many pieces over time. So it's no longer whole. You need to give them a piece of God's mind. And God's mind is already whole. But say, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. We don't need your mind, we need the mind of God on the issue. But the minute you're like, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, whatever is going to come out is not going to be good most of the time, because it's going to be selfish in intent. So the Bible says that, they say that, refrain your tongue. So it's not a function of God doing something you can do. It says, don't allow your tongue to communicate what is wrong. That's why the Bible says, be angry and sin not. It means when you are angry, understand whatever you say or do at that point in time is not going to line up with the righteousness of God. It won't communicate the salvation or the victory of God in that situation. That's why it's always wise. The minute you are angry, I know it's interesting. You can be angry over the wrong thing, and your anger can be unjustified. So the Bible says, be slow to speak, be quick to hear. One of the things that have helped me as a pastor is, if I'm handling a case or issues, I don't make any judgments, I don't make any assumptions, until I listen to both parties or three parties or four people involved. I will hear all sides. I will smile. I will know when people are lying. I will know when I try to, you know, even if there's a problem, even if you give a madman a hoe, he will still hold to his own side where the hoe is. So everybody comes to prove their case. But wisdom says, listen to all sides and then look at it from God's word. Someone says, there are three sides. There's the right side and the wrong side, and then there's God's side. And God's side is most important. And there's nobody who is walking by this law that's not on God's side. So he says, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. It will want to. The less you speak evil, the more the power of God has a free opportunity to flow in your life. One of the most significant laws of the Christian faith, which we find in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into what? The sea. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he seeth shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he seeth. It's a law. It can't be stopped. The only person that can stop it is the person that is saying it. How does he say it? The same power upon your word to move mountains is now being channeled to attack other believers. It's a problem. The same power that's been given to you to change situations, the same power that's been given to you to call into existence things that you require, is now being channeled wrongly. And that's Satan's business. So don't find yourself in situations where you're backbiting, where you're spreading gossip, where you're saying wrong things, or where you are expressing evil speech in any area of life. Don't say nobody is hearing me. Somebody is hearing, your heart is hearing. And your heart is being deceived over time. Because it's the harvest of your words that your heart will produce. Hallelujah. It's the harvest of your words that your heart will what? Produce. So if nobody hears you, naturally speaking, your heart is hearing every word that proceeds. And mom says, you can refrain. It means you can hold on. It means you can hold back your tongue from saying things that are not in line with edification. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your lips, but that which is good to the use of what? Edification, edifying, that it may minister grace. So a yardstick, therefore, that controls what you want to say is this: what I'm about to say, will it minister grace? How I wish husbands and wives can practice that. What I'm about to say, will it minister life? Will it minister grace? Because you are going home. When I get home today, I will show that woman. I will show you who is boss inside this house. Whether you are the husband or the husband, you will know today. And then as you are going, you know what my brother said earlier, when he said that this is what God means to you. There's someone here, more than one person actually, that word was for. That you are abusing your wife. You're not giving her the honor you ought to give her. And things are not working. And you still don't realize that's where the problem is. And the challenge we have sometimes inside of the world is this traditional, ungodly traditional mindset that believes the woman is a slave in the house. If you need somebody who can take care, get a house help. Now, if she starts looking funny, she starts looking somehow, you know, the shape is out, and then you now start saying that, is this how I married you? I want the return of my investment. You are the one who did the investment that way. The issue is this. The Bible says that, dwell with them according to the knowledge that your prayers will not hinder. It means there's a way God expects you to treat you. You know, it's a very dangerous thing. If God decides to treat the church the way some men treat their wife, we are finished. Just imagine, some people may slap their wife maybe yesterday night. Imagine if God waits on you and just gives you a slap. And Mama says, as Christ loved the church, he is using the vision between Christ and the church to demonstrate marriage, that marriage is meant to be a rehearsal between God, between Christ and the church. So imagine as you just say, if your wife just said, just give her a backhand. So as you wake up, father, you have backhand. Just think about it. And if that's not enough, if you go in place of prayer, God just like, shut up! You stubborn boy. Ah. But that's what some men are doing. So it's not that God doesn't want to bless. It is that the blessings of God can manifest. The atmosphere is wrong. Fortunately for you, unfortunately, you're already married. You are years together of the grace of life. The implication is this. Many things you won't get done because you are not bringing her along and because you are not giving her a proper place. The same goes for the women. But they submit. Submit also means that you won't always agree. But submit means that still accept. Like he said, sometimes it takes men a long time to realize that they are wrong. And when they are wrong, some of them are too proud to say, I was wrong. But you know, it takes a strong man to say that, honey, I was wrong yesterday. Let's do it your way. It takes a very strong... Strong men apologize. Do you know? Strong men apologize. Weak men are proud. And they are arrogant. Weak men are the ones who say that, I will never say sorry to you. For what? That's weakness. It takes strength to apologize. And to admit, I was wrong. You are right. That's wisdom. It says, and malice. What are we looking at? The little things that hinder the flow. The flow is there. The grace is heavy. The hand of God is strong upon us. But there are things we do wrongly. It's not God, it's us. It's not even Satan, it is us. Because as long as we don't agree with him, it says, don't let corrupt communication, the same power that's meant to bring forth life and grace and progress and increase, you are using all that power to speak against your partner, whether you're a man or a woman. The energy you're using to speak against, you are meant to use to speak against mountains. So you have turned your partner to the mountain. And you're saying, be thou removed and be cast into. That's what's happening. And we have to be careful. As I round up now, James chapter 3, a word is enough for the wise. Say amen. Because in Noble Lands Christian Center, walking in love is by force. Say by force. And it's a law. It's a law. This one, this law is stronger than the Ten Commandments. So it's stronger than the 633 churches. You don't have a choice. You don't have to feel like, just walk in love. In fact, we don't require your feeling. Act first, feeling will follow. The time is coming. If you beat your wife in this church, I will beat you under God. God will give me grace. Amen. And you choose the method of beating. I will allow you to choose. Is it flogging or punches? You choose. Yes. I will bring out my black belt again. There's nothing you can do. I will so beat you. I won't mention the ministry. I won't mention the ministry. I heard the pastor invited the husband to the office. He was smiling and everything. One man entered, just locked the door. They have been warning him since. Last time he saw the woman entered the hospital. He locked the door. He beat him. I didn't say the photo. He beat him. You know, there's fighting, there's beating. There's some things. No, it's not fighting. This is beating. I will beat you. It's a difference. And I will praise God after for the opportunity to beat you. And before you go, I'll say that, will you go and beat her again? Beat her, I will also beat you again. Until you learn. How can you beat? I mean, some things are just not done. A New Testament Christian beating a woman. Some things are not done. What has she done? What will she do that will run physical? Now, you know, Lagos State is introducing laws now. I think it's 7 years now if they catch you. 7 years if they catch you. May they not catch you. May you also not beat. But 7 years. But we will soon make it a law. You must walk in love by force. Let me hear, Pastor, do you know for the past week she has not given me food? Hey, I will get angry. I will know what to do. But that you did what? You lifted hand or belt. No. We will show you the true meaning of beating. Now it's not beating. Real beating, when you leave, you'll be walking up lopsided when they really beat you. Some things are ungodly. Walking in love is a must in Noble House Christian Center. It's the only way to keep yourself out of the clutches of the enemy. So it's not a matter of, I don't feel like, don't feel. We don't need the feeling. You must walk in love. And you must keep no malice to anyone in the body of Christ. Are you in James chapter 3? Are you there? Verse 1. We're just going to verse 1. And she says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. For in many things. Say many things. What's about to say is very heavy. in many things. What's about to say very heavy. For in many things we offend all. We offend all. I can speak to you in a very sharp or harsh way, and I can offend you without even knowing I've done so. I may not return the money you loaned me on time. I may be offended. I may not know that you're offended. It says in many things. This is normal. And it's talking to believers. My brethren. Don't be many masters. Who are brethren? Those who come from the same womb. It's talking about Christians. In many things, we offend all. So that we offend each other is nothing new. We do. Because we're close. So we're likely to step on each other's toes. It says, if any man, say any man, in the scriptures, when you see the word any, is introducing a law. If any man means that, this is no respecter of persons. If any man means by whoever practices this, this is the principle of how it works. You know, you say, whosoever shall see unto this man, it means, whosoever means whosoever. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Any. It means prayer will work when you are afflicted. Is any sick among you, let him come for the elders. It means for those who are too sick to come to church, and they call for the elders, it will work. He said, any. Is any sick? So, it's not a respecter, it's a spiritual law when it says any. So, it says, if any man offends not in word, does not err in what he says, does not make a mistake in that which is possible from his lips, the same man is a perfect man or a mature man, able also to bring his actions under control. Hallelujah. If any offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Can you say perfect or mature man? Able also. The word able there means that with the same way he has control over his speech, he releases ability to control his experiences. Hallelujah. Do you know that outside of the words that proceed from your life, from your mouth, the experiences of your life are greatly hanging on those words? And that activities or experiences cannot be introduced into your life outside of the words that you speak. It says, if you see a man who has mastered how not to offend in speech, to offend also means to go astray or to say something wrong in a given situation. It says, the same man is a mature or developed man, and is talking about speech. I thought he was going to say that whoever doesn't do wrong things. He says, no, it's whoever doesn't say wrong things. That's a mature man. So that people who don't seem to do wrong things, he said, but that's not the mature person. The one who doesn't say the wrong thing is one who is mature. He says, because the same words is using, he can exercise control over his experiences, over his bodily actions. The same man. Hallelujah. It's very difficult to just go and steal without having thought about it first. I don't know how this Bible got in my pocket, it just got there. As I was passing by, your car key jumped in my pocket. Does it happen like that? No, you picked it. I must have meditating on it. But it says there is a maturity. That's a function of the words that you speak. That if you can train yourself to the point where you have mastery over your tongue, over the things you say per time. It says you will exercise same mastery over not just your experiences, but every action that you take. That's what it's saying. With the same words, you exercise ability over any and everything that you do. In closing, why am I sharing some things along this line? The Spirit of God said to us and said that we've grown roots downward. It's not time to bear fruit outwards. And there are little foxes that can spoil the vine. In the book of Judges, the story of Samson is a story, it's a parable for the church. Samson is like a representation of the church. He's not perfect, but the hand of God comes upon him in different situations. So in Judges, I think chapter 15, the Bible says that he went against the Philistines, and because they took his wife that was belonged to him, and they destroyed the father's house and killed the father's people. So he went against them and destroyed their crops. So they came to attack him, and he went to go and hide in the cave. So his own people went against the Israelites, who Samson was meant to deliver. And when they went against them, those ones now came for us and said, why have you brought challenges upon us? These people are attacking us because of what you have done. He said, they were the ones who attacked me first, so I retaliated. He now said, okay, what do you want us to do? They are asking us to bring you. He said, fine, bind me. This is Samson. Bind me with cords and hand me over to them. But swear that you will not touch me yourself. We need to understand the parables in the scriptures. What does it mean? Why did Samson say, as long as you don't touch me, bind, in fact, you can bind me with 3-7 cords, hand me over to them on one condition. Promise me you won't touch me yourself. He was raised by God to be a deliverer for Israel. But his anointing won't work against his own people. Do you understand what I just said? His anointing won't work against people he's meant to deliver. So he was saying, as long as it is the enemy, my ability will work. But if it is you, it won't work. You become impotent when you attack other believers. That's what you're doing. Because you are members of the same family. You are like somebody who is holding a hammer and drops it on the toe and said, I did it for you. Who is going to feel pain? Who is going to feel pain? But that's what we're doing. You take the hammer, you hit your toe, say that, see his head. The whole body, the pain that goes through the whole body. How many of you know what they call weak low? Okay, so, where is that? All of you have had it. Now, but you know what it's called weak low? Okay. Now, how many of you have had it before? It wasn't pleasant, Abby. It was very bad. Now, here's what I want to say about it. Have you noticed that, I've had it before, so I know. Have you noticed that it's just, let's assume it's the thumb or any of the fingers. It's just the thumb. It's like this whole arm is paining you. And it's just the thumb. Have you noticed that? It means it's sending a signal to the whole arm. In fact, you may not be able to sleep. But it's not your head that has a problem. It's not this hand. That's what's happening. The Bible says that if one part has an issue, the whole body has the issue. It means we should be so diligent in covering up for ourselves that we are too busy helping one another to fight. We are so busy helping one another that there's no room to fight. Nobody knows your secrets outside of the body of Christ. I'm helping you, you're helping me. Bible says, love will cover a multitude of sins. So the implication is this, even if I see you do wrong, I don't quickly run. I'm Ibrahim Joseph. Did you see what Sister Katie did? No. What I do is, I look at what you're doing. If I feel it is wrong, I start praying for you. What am I doing? I'm preparing the future for myself. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall what? Test. They shall what? Which book is it? Who said it? To whom? Who said it to whom? We've not done that exam. We've been trying to do since so. We should do that exam one day. You give me 3 scriptures on prosperity. Give me 3 scriptures on protection. That's how we're picking you out. And you will not escape in Jesus' name. You shall be here. You shall answer boldly before all brethren. But the Bible says that when we walk in love towards the brethren, we are ensuring there is no loophole for the adversary to walk. So understand, walking in love is not negotiable in your Christian faith. You must. So be prepared to be hurt and to let go immediately. In fact, don't even think about it. No matter what they do to you, make sure you have decided on your heart that you are going to forgive every form of wrongdoing. Bible says you forgive as God, for Christ's sake, as what? Forgiving you. And we will have an excellent season in God. Amen? We're going to have what? An excellent season in God. We're going to bear fruit outwards. But we're going to ensure that we don't shoot ourselves in the leg. So if you have ought against any, the one ought means the slightest bit of animosity against anyone. Before you leave church today, settle it. Hallelujah. Before you leave church, they do what? Settle it. Anything at all you have against somebody. I was happy last Sunday. 2 people walked up to me and painted the scenario. Pastor, what should I do? I said, do this. And they went to do it. That's how a local assembly functions. They came to say, Pastor, I don't know how to handle this. What happened? I said, do this. Who was that person? That's what you're supposed to do. So if you have ought against anyone, maybe an usher did something you didn't like. Maybe people at the car park did something. And maybe you are the one who did something to people in the car park. Yes. You know, the people in the car park are there to serve God and then you. So they are serving God by serving you. So they are not errand men. You see me carrying my bag, can't you? What's that? No. Remember, they are there because of their love for God. It could as well as be you. Somebody identifies, somebody greets you, answer back and be polite. If you're a young man, you see ladies carrying their bag, not ambago. They're carrying anything heavy, help and assist them. They will see you again, gentleman. If they can't marry you, they recommend you for their friend. I'm telling you how to marry. This is how to marry. You don't get married by walking at the... A married woman is carrying child, carrying her. They just walk past. Maybe she has a sister or a friend, you don't know. And as you walk past, one of those people not to marry. help as it's a sign that you have character. It's not a sign that you are lower, that you have character, that you are a sound person. It's important. Let's imbibe some of these natural things and let's show an outward display of love. No matter what they do to you, remember, it's as Christ, God for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven you. Amen.